Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
All right, let's pray. Jesus, help us. God, I just pray that you speak, Lord, and set people free. Have your way, God. Confirm the word with power in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love what Candace opened up with, happy thoughts. Well, today's message, before I get to that, today is Palm Sunday, so yay. Pastor just pointed out, it's like I've got palms on my shirt. I didn't plan that, but Palm Sunday is really interesting because it actually ties in with my message because palms, I look at it, and it's symbolic of the goodness and victory. And so it's all about that. The cross is all about the goodness of God and the victory of God. But the first time he came around, when Jesus came around, he confused a lot of the Jews because the Jews were expecting a Messiah like the book of Judges. Because every time there's a deliverer in the Old Testament, and he would set like Israel free from the oppressors and then set them like into freedom to make their own nation. And so the Jews were expecting Jesus to come in as a conquering king. And then a few days later, when he didn't, they were the ones that screamed, "Crucify him." But Jesus did come to set us free, but not in the way that we think. But you guys know that because we've been talking about it. But the Jews at the time didn't get it. They were expecting a conquering king and they receive a humble servant. So today, my sermon is called The Father's Love Towards Us. I preached this morning at Hawthorne. That was really good. We saw one salvation out of the one guest. We had one visitor in that church. And one salvation, so it's pretty good strike rate. So during the flow, Pastor Johnny called out some words of knowledge. It was for her, and then I got up and spoke something similar. So God was really onto her, and she got set free, had migraine, got healed, and so good stuff. All right, so before we go into the message, I want to talk about the tool that we need to use. In the Bible, there's this concept called the biblical meditation. I mentioned it, but the meditation in the Bible is not the same as the Eastern meditation. People usually think of meditation as like, you know, sitting in a lotus position going, like that. But the biblical meditation is not emptying your mind. The biblical meditation is attaching yourself to God. It's attaching yourself to a concept. It's not detaching, but attaching. The Eastern meditation is about detaching and then getting yourself filled up with demons. The Jewish meditation is about attaching yourself. So the word meditation is the word haga. It is to imagine, to mutter, to utter, to think repeatedly. So to set the context, I've been doing lots of research about this and been confirmed by full-on psychologists, and they say that young children need love. Without love, they feel fear and anxiety. Because for a young child, love equals care. For a baby, that love equals safety. Love equals food. If you've ever had a newborn, many of you have, remember if you put a baby on its stomach, you come back half an hour later, that thing is still in the same position. You know what I'm talking about? Right? You put the baby somewhere on a little bed, on a sofa, half an hour, hopefully not an hour, but you know, a few minutes later, the baby is just sitting there. I remember the first time I was teaching Isaac to do a tummy time. He's got a kind of bigger heads than average. And so when you put him on his stomach, it's like torture. The poor thing is like, ah, and then his face is like on the sofa, and he's like, ah, and you're supposed to leave it like that to strengthen his neck muscles. And so when a child receive love, they feel safe. When a child does not receive love and care, they feel anxiety. Are you following me? I think Candace is touching this when she was just flowing. So what is called complex trauma is a lack of love, neglect, causing fear over time. And because you get neglected, chances are it didn't happen once. It happened probably in the most your most vulnerable year. So you get it for the first 10 years of your life, usually. 10, 11, 20, whatever long. Like, you know, when you really need it. But then you get a teenager, you don't really need it anymore as much. Then you're just already, you're wounded. Are you following me? So just as complex trauma is neglect or is trauma over time, meditation is healing over time. Hello. You get complex trauma by being neglected, by being abused over time. And what happens is it locks the trauma into your system. So that even 20, 30 years later, even though there's no one oppressing you, it's like a background noise. You're in a defensive survival mode, even though there is no danger. Hello. You don't really know it. All of a sudden, it pops out, and this manifests itself in sort of addictive behaviors. Alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, promiscuousness, even overeating. I think sometimes we neglect that. It's like these days, like, oh, don't fat shame. But it's like, it's one of the mechanics of trauma. People, it's like, you know, they feel bad. So it's like, I eat a lot to make myself feel better. And then they feel bad for overeating. Oh, by the way, as I was praying for tonight, I felt like there's someone here who's got some sort of eating disorder. I see a vision of skin over bone. So it's like anorexic bulimia. So it's like this. You've got eating disorder and you're leaning towards the too skinny side. So if that's you, come and see me later on. We'd love to pray for you. God will set you free. Amen? So going back to that, God gives us this tool of meditation, which is the confession, the meditating, the utterance, the like repetitive utterance of the truth over time to counteract the trauma over time. Are you following me? So that's the tool that it's good to use that tool upon every message. But we're going to apply it to the message tonight. And the scripture I'm going to start off with, I didn't mention this, I added this on the way here. Revelation 13, verse 8. And this says, all who dwell on the earth, it's talking about the Antichrist, will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. What I'm going to use is the concept of Jesus being the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. I remember, I think I told this story of when Isaac was born. I think, I don't know if many other males feel this, but, you know, the concept of pregnancy is a bit abstract until I held Isaac. And what I remembered about holding Isaac when he was born was that first it was a feeling of panic. It was, oh, my God, what have I done? It's like, oh, no, poor kid. You know, he's got me as a dad. And then it was, God, please help me. It's like, this kid got me as a dad, so you need to help me. I need to grow up like now. And then thirdly, this feeling of absolute love like I've never felt before. And then I remember looking at this little baby. And to be honest, like now I think he's the cutest baby in the world, child in the world. But back then he just came out. His head's a bit big, so he got stuck in the birth canal. They had to grab him with a tongue, so pulled him out, so he had this mark, and then he was like, you know, he's got wax, that wax stuff and a bit of blood. Quite disgusting looking. But I remember looking at him and I thought, I love you than more than life itself. And at that moment, I thought, I will give my life for you. I will defend you with my very own life. And if there's any danger come our way and only one of us gets to survive, the decision is made. You live. It's not a council. It's not a survey. He'll live and I'll stop. I'll defend him right there. And at that moment, I looked up and I thought, I totally understand why Jesus died on a cross. Someone, I remember in my early stage, as a believer, someone said it was a council and there was a deliberation. There was no deliberation. Jesus knew that mankind was going to fall because he foreknew everything. He's outside of time and space. He can see the end and the beginning. And so Jesus knew before he created Adam, that Adam was going to fall. And as a good father, he was going to step down and launch a rescue mission. And that's why Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. How good is that? Before the earth was created, he knew we were going to get ourselves into trouble. And he knew he was going to come down to rescue us. And that's what the cross is. Jesus making it possible for us to come back. Isn't that good? So the way to apply this is to meditate, to think, imagine, and repeat over and over again. For example, God loves me before the foundation of the earth. Repeat after me. God loves me before the foundation of the earth. Say, thank you, God, that you love me before the foundation of the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. That is an example. You can repeat that minutes every day, hours every day. That is a tool and application. Second scripture, Romans 5, verse 8 to 9. You guys are quick. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, having now been justified by blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So this now, before the foundation of the earth, he is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. Now, going into the space and time, 2,000 years ago, while we were still sinners, before we even exist, before even the thought, the possibility of us existing, Jesus died for us. Isn't that good? While I was his enemy, before I was born, Jesus already died on that cross to provide a way for me to be forgiven, restored, redeemed, reconciled, be lifted up. Isn't that amazing? This is a good time to say amen. Amen. Amen means so it be. Be so, let it be, Lord. It's like, let it be in my life. Amen. That's what it means. Praise God. Repeat this after me. While I was his enemy, Jesus died to reconcile me back to God. Thank you, Jesus. Repeat that a couple of hundred times. Amen? One John 4, verse 9-11. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. I lost it. Oops, sorry. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The meaning of propitiation. the act of gaining or regaining the favor of goodwill of someone or something. Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is the way that we regain favor back to God, back like regain the favor of God. I remember last week I was on my way to grab some lunch at Seaford Thai, and just got my head down thinking I want to grab some lunch, go home and eat it. Then this gentleman yelled out, "Hey, mate, love your hair." I'm not saying this is good. But I just thought, all right, you initiated contact. So I'm like, "Oh, thanks, buddy." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm one of the first person in Victoria, I reckon, to get that haircut." I'm like, "Well," he goes, "I've had this for 17 years. He could be." He goes, "He had it before he was fashionable." I don't know if it's fashionable. You know, this is my barber giving me a haircut, and I have no idea for my own hair, so I'm just flowing with his idea. Anyway, so I got talking to him. It's like, turns out the man is homeless, and so we got chatting, and then he goes, "What do you do?" I asked him what he does, and he goes, "I'm homeless." And he goes, "What do you do?" And I'm like, "I'm actually a pastor." And so I told him about Common Shelf here, if he wants to come along. And so I asked him, he's like, "Are you a believer?" And he goes, yeah, "I believe in Jesus." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool. And so I went to grab lunch, came back. And then as I was sitting there talking to him, I noticed a few disturbing things. He just kept saying a couple of things that are like, "Oh, that's not quite right." And then finally I was going to go home. I said, "All right, God bless you, mate." And he goes, "Yeah, bless you, buddy. May the force be with you." I'm like, "All right." I'm like, okay, all right. I'm going to go back. And I'm going to talk to him because I'm like, he just called the Holy Spirit the force. Okay. I have to ask this, bro. I said, "If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Would you go to heaven or go to hell?" And he goes, "Gee, you put me on the spot there. No one ever asked me that." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Look, basically, I think I would go to heaven because I'm a good person." So I'm like, wrong answer. Because you don't get to heaven by your own works. And to say that means you have no understanding of salvation. And so I explained to him, I said, "That's actually evidence that you've eaten the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is Adam." And it goes, "You think that you have to be good and not evil, but it's the tree of death. So whether you're good or evil, you're dead. In the beginning, God says, eat from the tree of life, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. In the day you eat of it, you will die." Adam ate and died. And what happens is it gives us this thinking that we have to be good and not evil. So people don't come to Christ because some of them think they're too evil to come to Christ. And some people think they don't need Jesus because they think they're good. But Jesus says the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a tree of death. So whether you're good or evil, you're dead. And so the whole thing is about connection on disconnection. And I love my analogy of the mobile phone. I said, I pull out my phone. I guess all of us are like mobile phones. Later on, we're going to give the chance for you to reconnect to Jesus. So I said, right now, my phone has 56%. It has a charge. It can go. But by the tonight, it'll run out of charge. And if I don't find a power source, it will die. And basically, all of us is like a mobile phone. It's like we have a charge in us, but eventually we all run out of a charge. Some of you are young. Some of us are closer to the end. It says, at the end of the day, it's about reconnecting to Jesus, the power source. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way you get to the Father except through me." I said, "Would you like to receive Jesus?" And he goes, "Yes." And so he prayed and he received Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, and then I went home and ate my lunch. John 3:16, we all know this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love gives. Love gives. Some of us love to take. Some of us encourage and love other people. Then we say, "I love you. Do you love me?" It's like an expectation. So you're not really loving people. You're trying to love yourself. Hello. Love gives. oftentimes in our brokenness, we love people, but we don't really love people. We love them so they like us back. So you're not really loving other people. You're trying to love yourself. Using other people. Hello? If we walk around thinking like this, we love other people, we encourage other people, we serve God, we think we serve God, then we don't receive love back, recognition back, encouragement back, then we get offended. Hello? It's really quiet. Because we're trying to get something out of other people. And when we, a lot of time, offense comes out of unmet expectation. In Romans, it says, have no expectation but the love. Don't owe anyone anything except love. Don't make people owe you anything. Because if you're trying to love people to get love back, you're walking around setting people up to start a fight. You're basically starting a fight. Because you love people, you encourage people so they love you back. And when you don't get love back, you get offended. You get injured. And then you might start striking back because they've hurt you. What have they done? You started the whole thing. You're trying to love. You're trying to get love back. And then no one loves you. And you're like, oh my goodness, what a mongrel. You start attacking them. Hello. So you're starting a fight, not loving people. Love gives. It's just give it. Just love. Love them. It's just like encouragement. Throw it away. And it's like, don't expect anything back. They said they didn't reply. It's like, oh, are you trying to love them or are you loving you? Hello. God so loved the world, he gave his son. While we were his enemy, he gave his son to die for us. Would you die for your enemy? Psalm meditation. Repeat this after me. God gave his only son to save me. God so loved me. He gave his only son. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much that you died for me. Amen. Just as trauma is neglect and abuse over time, your healing lies in these positive meditations and confession over time. But I guarantee you, the healing will come so much faster than the trauma. You just seriously try it over 2 weeks and let me know the difference. Because every time I do it, about 2-3 weeks, I'll notice the difference straight away. Like the difference is amazing. You don't even need years. And then you add the power of God into that and it's even faster. And like later on, we're going to give a chance to pray for people like their paranoia. I love that because this whole thing is about fear and anxiety. And paranoia is just one of those things, fear. And so sometimes we're just not strong enough to break the covenant with those spirits. And so what you need is another brother or sister to agree with you, to just assist you. It's like going to the gym and you need a spotter, you know, because you're not strong enough to move the weight. You're like maybe even with it and you just need a brother and sister to just tip it over the edge. Amen? So today we're going to set people free. And almost there. Ha, ha, ha. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Just we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's an amazing promise. Just as he is, so are we. When Jesus returns, like there is a promise that we're going to receive a glorified body in the twinkling of the eye, on the sounding of the last trumpet, we'll all be raptured, be captured in the air together. And we're going to be like together with Jesus, be like Jesus, just as he is. We're going to get a body like His. How glorious is that? No more pain, no more sickness, no more decay, and then have supernatural abilities. Because I always say this, Jesus would appear in the middle of a locked room. The disciples were scared. They'll hide themselves. They'll lock the doors. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears with my favorite saying, do not fear. Imagine you're sitting alone in your home, and then someone appears behind you, shining, glowing, and go, do not fear. Thank you, Jesus. But that's what happened. The disciples were freaked out of their mind. But that same body that Jesus has, we're going to have. You know that? No more decay. I am looking forward to that day. Whew. And that's why we have healing right now. It's like a down payment to what's coming. Everyone who's got like sickness, battling illness, it's like we're going to get a glorified body. Where are you, John? Get a glorified body. Hallelujah. That's why it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy power? Jesus has broken it all. Amen. So there you go. Praise God. 25 minutes, Nat. I knew this. That was a ceremony short. But we don't want to, before we go on to the end, I just want to give an exhortation, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciple, not by your healings, not by your tongues, not by your prophecies, by the way we love one another. And that's actually the litmus test. That's the ultimate test, and to see how spiritual we are. Yeah? Because sometimes it's really challenging to love other people in the church. And so it's so much easier to just get offended and go like, you know what? I don't need a church. I'm the church, and I sit at home offended. It is. Because the test of spirituality is how well you can put up and love other believers. And, you know, when people come into the church, it's like they're not perfect. Some of them have got real issues. I remember when I was going out evangelizing, I think last year, this gentleman, met him in the street, led him to the Lord. He came in and he goes, Lee, I've got massive social anxiety. So I've had a few drinks before I came in. And he showed me half a bottle of tequila. He smashed half a bottle of tequila before he walked in. And so after the end of worship, he was gone, off his head, screaming out stuff. And I think it was Tim Hall. And so he was walking around, like just yelling stuff. And I'm like babysitting. And then there was Al de Kretzer. And then I looked at Al and I go, Al, help me. And then Al just go, ha, ha, ha. And then he walked off. I'm like, you mongrel. Anyway, I was just there babysitting this drunk, literally drunk guy. But that's what evangelism is, isn't it? They don't have it all together. They need Jesus. But unfortunately, he didn't hang around enough to renew his mind. But anyway, he still calls me and whenever he drinks. Praise God. So, in John chapter 1, it says this, verse 10 to 13. He was in the world and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. Can I get the band up, please? He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Because of Adam, we are sinners in Romans 5. Because of what Adam did, we became sinners. And so we are born into sin. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm thinking, that's not fair. I was born into sin. What did I do to make myself a sinner? And I go, Adam, when I see him. But then I continued reading and I realized, just as I didn't do anything to become a sinner, I don't have to do anything to become righteous. I was born into sin. All I have to do is just born again into righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Julie. It's like, just as we're born into sin, you get to be born again into righteousness, holiness, and love. So it doesn't matter what you've done, what your issues are. You know, salvation is an offer by God to be a brand new person. You know, when I accepted Jesus, so I told this story many, many times, but I used to take drugs, sell drugs. But I did it here. And so I only got 3 months jail sentence. I had a friend, his name is Tong Van Nguyen. His Christian's name is Caleb. He tried to smuggle heroin through Singapore. 2006, he got hanged. The Bali Nine, Andrew Chan and the other gentleman, Myron Sukumaran, I can't pronounce his name. Andrew Chan became a full-blown minister. He studied Bible college, got ordained, and then they shot him. I realized that if I did what I did in other countries, I wouldn't be standing here, I'd be dead. And that's why I can look at the cross and I go, oh my goodness, that wasn't a hypothetical thing. All of us have sinned against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because of my entanglement with the criminal system, I understand a few things. If you commit a crime, right, and you go to a magistrate court, one punishment could be 6 months. But if you go to the Supreme Court and you get convicted of the same charge, it could be like 5 years. Do you understand that? Because it's the level. Our sin is not against a magistrate. Our sin is against the ultimate authority in the universe. It is against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you understand it? That's why our sins are capital punishments. It's like our sin against the King makes it lethal. It's not what we did, it's who we did it against. Are you following me? And that in that context, God thought, I will send my own son to die for their sins, to redeem them, to pay for their punishment. But not only to pay for their punishment, to restore them back from a fallen state, back into sons and daughters. How good is that? That's why, I'm getting goosebumps. That's why the gospel, that's why it is called the gospel. It means good news. Good news of what? Of everything I just said. We sin against the ultimate authority in the universe. And instead of coming down and crushing us, popping us like little pimples, He came to rescue us, redeem us, made us sons and daughters. I've got an amazing future. That's why in the past, I used to take drugs because I was depressed. I had no hope. Now, I'm full of purpose. I wake up every day excited for the day. I'm excited for my future. I don't need drugs anymore. I don't need alcohol. It's like, I don't need it. Because I've got Jesus. And you can have it too. So can I get... we're not going to do this. I'm going to get you... We're going to invite people to come up the front later on. Very soon. Do you know Jesus? Are you right with Him? If you to die tonight, are you sure that you're going to go up to heaven and not down? Because by believing in Jesus, you can make yourself sure. Just like this one, when I asked that man, he's like, I know where I'm going. I love Jesus. I speak to Him. He speaks to me. He's like, it's good. If you'd like to receive Jesus, can I get you to lift up your hand right now? Lift up your hand. Anybody here does not know Jesus and you'd like to begin this relationship, lift up your hand right now. Anyone? Okay, repeat this. We're just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross. Today, I put my trust in Him. I turn around from my sin and I choose to follow you. Thank you for forgiving me and adopting me. Today, I am your child. In Jesus' mighty name.